Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Daniel chapter number 6, and I don't mean to have you like popcorn this morning, but would you stand with me for a few moments, and let's read the word here. Now remember, Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel's going into a new kingdom. In fact, the third king that he'll serve under, and his name was Darius. So Daniel chapter number 6, if you need help finding it, ask someone nearby, no problem. Or use your device. There's also a guide inside of the bulletin today that will be a help to you. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents. So you're going to have these 120 over them, three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. He was the leader of those presidents, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. He shouldn't have a problem. He's well administrated his kingdom through these 123 individuals. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought it to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning this, concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him." All right, notice now, concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute." Now, I want you to notice something. They said all. Except who? Except Daniel. Isn't that interesting? They said all. Liars. Interesting. So we're going to establish this royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it shall not be charged according to the law, the Medes and the Persians, which is a fancy way of saying once this is signed, it can't be reversed. He shall be cast out into the den of lions. I lost my place down at the bottom of verse 8, which altereth not. The Medes of the, and Persians, which altereth not. Verse number 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You may be seated. Now, Daniel's lived in Babylon for some 66 years. He came there as a young man, as a teenager. He was ripped away from his home. We've gone through that he has been mutilated. He's received a new name. He's been given a different diet that he stood firm about, and he honored the Lord. Right at the beginning, in verse number 8, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart, he set his heart, "I'm not going to adjust my living to the pagan culture that is all around me. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stay focused on what my parents taught me. I'm going to do the right thing. That's the type of persons we need to be today, don't we? We're going to stand firm by the word of God. Daniel purposed in his heart. So he's been there 66 years. In fact, if 66 years is long enough for a person to be shown, if this is just a show, it's long enough for someone, if they're just putting this on or just trying to please someone in their life, please their friends, it's long enough for that to be shown up. But it wasn't the case in Daniel's life. All 66 years and through all these points over this over these six chapters that we've looked at, through even the 30 years that divides chapter 4 and chapter 5 and then leads into chapter 6, all these years, Daniel is doing the right thing over and over and over again. He is living for his God. When he has no support around him, the king's not supporting that, the constitutions that they didn't have, the laws that they have wasn't supporting that at all. And we see this today as we come into this chapter, serving now under a third king, Daniel continues to stay focused on following his God, even when everything around him is breaking down. So this morning, I want to challenge us about this reality as we look at the tail end of Daniel's life, the narrative portion of this book. The rest of the book really gets into prophecies and what God was doing through Daniel to give his message to the Jewish community and to the world. But as we come to the end of his life, as it were, he's some 80 years old, 88 years old, somewhere in there right now. As we come to the end of his life, I want us to realize that we've been able to track this all the way through and see that Daniel is still in his 80s. He is still living godly. He's still living a godly life. Still, his life is pointing up to God. It's still, what do you want me to do today? What is your will for me? Not what the king's will is, but what is your will for me today? And friends, I know that you've gathered here today because you're hungering something in your heart. There's something in your heart that says, I need God, I need more of God. Some of you have made this a regular priority of your life because you know the value of gathering with God's people. You know the value of gathering under the Word of God. You know how important it is. But we're here today because we know we need something from God. There's a reality in our hearts. We know our own weaknesses, our own wickedness, and we know we need the encouragement to continue to live godly in this day. And so Daniel provides a wonderful, wonderful illustration, as he has all along, of a godly life, and here in his 80s, still living godly. I want to be 80 years old and still living godly. I want to live godly till the day that I die. And I know you do too. But that doesn't happen overnight. Without Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposing in his heart, without the instruction of parents early on, do you wonder why there's such a focus on education today and training our children and indoctrinating our children with things they ought not be hearing about and knowing about? They do not need to have their innocence taken from them at first grade and second grade and third. They do not need to know some of these things. It's too much for them to know. The sexual education is by design to grab a hold of the hearts and the lives of these children early on, and they grip them. And then they go into their teenage years and they become very, very confused about, who am I? Well, they've been hearing this and it's been questioned all the way along. But Babylon's no different. They took them early on and they began to try to change them. Only thing is, God had used some parents, some godly parents, to instruct Daniel and his three friends, this is the way that you ought to walk in. The most formative years of a child's life is not after the age of 5, but it's 1 to 5, 0 to 5. 0 to 5. I hear parents all the time. They say, well, I don't really start teaching them until they can understand things. Well, we don't start telling them no until they can understand things. You start telling a 3-year-old no, is that the first time they get the no? You got problems going on. They already have their own way set in. You better start teaching them from the moment they're born. This is right and this is wrong. They need to hear godly things right from the moment they're born. They may not understand everything, but it will grow with them. And I believe that the Bible says with Timothy, do you remember Timothy? He began to follow Paul on that second missionary journey as a young man. And the Bible says, Paul saying, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The word child there means infant. He had a mom who loved God. He had a grandmother who loved God. He had a dad that did not know God. And yet, mom and grandmother are the ones that from an early age began to teach Timothy, this is right and this is wrong. Why do you teach your children to obey? Because it annoys you when they don't? No, because if you don't teach your children to obey, they'll never obey God. The reason I teach my children to obey is not just for me. It's because God told me to get them ready for a life of obeying God. I cannot expect my children to obey God when he tells them in a foreign land, a pagan culture, not to partake of the ungodliness. I cannot expect them to obey God then if I did not teach them to obey me and clean up their room. That's good. Or eat their food. Or pick up their dish. Or be kind to their siblings. Now, if you follow me around, my children, you're going to find that my children aren't perfect. Right? It's a process. Day by day, consistently striving to teach them to do the right thing. Remember, Timothy had a mother and a grandmother. Do you know how powerful it is for you grandparents to teach your children, your grandchildren, to obey God? Don't underestimate your ability to change the future by being present and teaching them the Word of God and showing them priorities, showing them the priority. Grandma and Grandpa, we're vested in God. We're at the house of God. We're involved in the church. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ with our times, gifts, and talents and resources. Don't underestimate the power of that influence. You have been given that in this time. It's not just parents, it's grandparents too. I'm thankful for grandparents. I did not have grandparents that loved the Lord or followed him. I had parents did, and now I'm very, very grateful that I have grandparents for my children that love and honor God and are a good example for them, and I value anything they have to say to my children in that regard. And so Daniel is this man who's gone all the way through his life just still living godly, consistently living godly. That's the type of life we need. Now, what are some of the nuances here in this last chapter? What do we see from his life that's just pointing? Daniel's a godly man. Daniel is making choices that honor God. I want you to notice, first of all, notice Daniel's attitude. It was a godly attitude, a very godly attitude. Notice how that in this first chapter, as he's going again, remember, Belshazzar has just been taken down by the Medo-Persian Empire. Remember the head of gold that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about? And then the chest of silver that would be the Medo-Persian Empire? It just happened in chapter number 5. We've transitioned. A new power has taken over Babylon. It's a kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And the king is this man named Darius. And it astounds me that as we come into this chapter, that we find Daniel so very quickly winning favor in a king's eyes that has just overtaken Babylon. He doesn't cut off Daniel's head. He doesn't get rid of him. He gives favor to Daniel, and immediately Daniel rises to the top there in Babylon, in the new kingdom under Darius. And it says that Darius has established these 120 princes, and then there's these three presidents, and Daniel was the first, and Daniel was actually going to be able to be over all the kingdom because of his excellent spirit. And I want us to notice that in verse number 3. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit. Now, we all like that word preferred. I use choice hotels just because I've used their credit card for years and I gain points and I use them to get free nights as I travel. And they started putting up these signs so that you're a preferred card holder. And I really like that when you get there and that parking spot is open and you can park there close to the door. And you're a preferred individual in that day, all right, you know, for that moment. But I had to earn that, or I had to use their card and go through the hoops in order to do that. Preferred. Daniel was preferred not because he was giving something to the king, paying off the king, or doing stuff that was wrong. Daniel was preferred because an excellent spirit was found in him. An excellent spirit. We all like being around people with an excellent spirit. I think we can define excellent spirit in our own minds. We have a picture that comes to mind. In fact, you can probably think of somebody right now. That person has an excellent spirit. That person has an excellent spirit. When I get around them, their spirit is so encouraging. It's helpful. It's excellent. It's extraordinary. And that's exactly what excellent means. Extraordinary. It's beyond the ordinary. It's highly unusual. In this world, there's so much anger, isn't there? And isn't it amazing that how the side that is against life and those that are fighting against life being valued. Isn't it amazing how oftentimes it is also characterized with a very, very vengeful and angry spirit? It's not an excellent spirit. God wants us to have an excellent spirit. Do you think Jesus had an excellent spirit? Yeah. Did Peter, James, and John always have an excellent spirit? They're sons of thunder. Why? Because they were just jumpy. They were jumpy. You remember that time they had some people teaching about the right way, and Peter or James and John come to Jesus, and they're not with us. Call down fire from heaven and blast them, Jesus. Because you don't even know what spirit you're of. If they're not against us, they're with us. And he gets on them. Why? Not an excellent spirit. Have you ever been to a church that doesn't have an excellent spirit? Yeah, ready to blast everyone that's not in their four walls? Just ready to be vengeful? Friends, that's not right. I hope that we, as Grace Baptist Church, will be characterized by an excellent spirit. But that starts with you and me. Yes. Right? An excellent spirit, a preferred spirit. And an excellent spirit rises. It goes places. Daniel's excellent spirit led him to advancement and promotion. That promotion ultimately was from God, but it was Daniel's excellent spirit and attitude, godly attitude towards the Lord, that allowed him to advance. And do you understand something, that our excellent spirit is a reflection of us realizing that God is in control of all things. You and I need to have an excellent spirit right now in this culture, even when things don't go our way. And when we get a bad and poor spirit in the midst of these types of things, it reminds and it shows to other people, our focus really isn't on God. Our focus isn't on the one who is in control. We say he's in control, but our focus isn't on him. Now, how many of you are with me? I don't always have my focus right in the right place. Yeah, sometimes I get down. And I don't have that excellent spirit. You know, there is something wrong with my countenance. Reality is, in those moments, I'm not focusing in the right place. I'm not focusing on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe the reason Daniel had an excellent spirit is because he had his focus in the right place. It wasn't on Darius and pleasing him, it was on God and pleasing him. May the Lord help us with that. A motivating speaker said it this way, it's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines your altitude. It's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines altitude. Now, I said a part of that quote last week, but I find people that are really, they have great ability, but great ability with a poor attitude doesn't get them very far.
That's right.
So may we allow the Lord to take the abilities that we have with a good attitude. You might not have somebody else's abilities. I have found, you can probably agree with me on this one, I have found you can find someone that doesn't necessarily have great ability, but has a good attitude. They can go places.
Yes.
And they mean something. They mean something to you. Their actions mean something to you. May the Lord help us to have an excellent, excellent attitude, an attitude that is preferred, an attitude that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. How can you have an excellent attitude? I'm going to give you what the Scriptures tells us. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are excellent attitudes. These are attitudes that the Holy Spirit of God will bear in us if we yield to Him each and every day. Have you said to God today, I yield myself to your Holy Spirit. I'm surrendering control of my life to you today, not to my flesh. In my flesh I get angry, vengeful, nasty, down, cynical, all these different attitudes that plague my flesh and yours too. And yours too.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Don't leave me standing alone here. Right, we all have flesh and it's ugly. It is ugly. Don't put me on a pedestal. I have flesh too. And if the Holy Spirit's not controlling me, I have ugly flesh, just like you have ugly flesh. In all of our lives, we're responsible to walk in the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so if we will walk, what is walking? Repeated steps. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Over and over through the day. As you walk into work, yes, Lord. Don't look there. Yes, Lord. Encourage that person. Yes, Lord. Get right. Yes, Lord. Meditate. Yes, Lord. You'll have a good attitude. Why? Because the Lord is in control. And the Lord will produce an excellent attitude just like he did in Daniel. And so this attitude was excellent, but it was distinct. Notice it says there in verse number 3, it said it was preferred above all the rest. It was preferred. It's amazing how many times that godly individuals will rise to the top. Will rise to the top in a workplace. Because they have a good work ethic, they have a good attitude, they show up and they're cheerful and they're kind to one another. Why? Because they have a good attitude and that makes them preferred. And it's interesting how that works. And in Daniel's life, that was the case all the way throughout his life. He kept on getting noted for his good attitude, his good spirit that was in him. And you remember the Queen Mother last week, chapter number 5, when Belshazzar was all frazzled about this writing on the wall, she comes in and says, hey, there is a man in your kingdom. I've known him in the past. There is a man in whom the spirit of the holy gods abides. And over in his life, he's being preferred, he's being called out, he's being shown as distinct because he had an excellent spirit, but ultimately that was God's influence in his life. Listen, all of us might be going through some difficult times. I guarantee I could pass a mic along, and if we felt the freedom, the liberty to be open in the congregation, we could share a burden that the world says should produce in us kind of a cynical or downward attitude. But if our eyes are on the Lord and we're allowing Him to give us the strength, all of us can overcome that by the help of the Lord and be set apart from the average person in the world. You've known people that live on a roller coaster, and we've all lived on that roller coaster before. Maybe you're on that roller coaster right now. What'll stabilize you is putting your faith in the Lord, your trust in the Lord, your yes, Lord, whatever you say, like Daniel did, and he'll give you that distinct attitude just like Daniel had. Joseph had that same illustration or demonstration in his life. A man that just everywhere he went had an excellent attitude. Mary had an excellent attitude. Can you imagine angel of the Lord coming to you, ladies, telling you, you're not married, you've not been with a man, and you're now pregnant. In a culture that did not receive that at all. That was a mark in that culture. Today it's very, very different, sadly, because we've walked away so much from the Lord. But in that day, that was, everyone was going to be whispering about Mary. And all through Jesus' life, did it not say that Jesus was born of fornication? Did not the critics say that of Jesus? And they never let it go. But when Mary heard this, I guarantee that was one of the first thoughts that went through her mind. How is this happening? The Lord told her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. But do you understand? Mary said this, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. What is that? Yes, Lord. And she kept a good attitude that despite all the naysaying that was going to happen, no one's going to understand what was going on, she had an excellent attitude. That was Mary. Over and over we have these illustrations throughout Scripture. May the Lord help us. I want us to look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's look there together. You might turn there and mark this. The Bible says this, Philippians 2:14. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Let's say that together. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. All right, we know what murmuring is. It's a word that sounds like what it is. Murmur. Just this hubbub. Sometimes I get that going on in my home. Just murmuring. It's this, that. Nothing's right. Hold up. Stop. Murmuring, disputing. This is probably one of the most quoted verses, right? This is one of these ones that you just use, that you keep on quick repeat. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't fight and squabble about things. That's not just for children. This is being written to the church of Philippi. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. You will always find something to complain about. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. It's too loud in here. It's too quiet in here. The preacher goes too long, or the preacher goes too short, or the song service was this, or we stood too much. You can always find something to complain about. Always. But God tells us not to murmur, and he tells us not to complain. And when we do, we ought to get it right with them. Do you realize if you allow this to go on in your life, it will canker every relationship. It will taint your experience of church. It will change the dynamics of your home. And it's not just our children that complain. I have to catch myself. I can get to complaining. He says, do all things. Let me ask you a question. Do you do all things without murmuring and disputing? Me neither. There's a problem with it, though. Let's move on. Verse number 15. That, for this reason, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, notice, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen. Let's just catch this picture. He's saying, if you murmur and dispute, some people think nothing of complaining about their wife to their coworkers. Some people complain about their children or how expensive it is to have children. God gave you those children. They're a blessing from God. Some people complain about their church to a lost world. Do you realize what he's saying here is this murmuring, disputing causes you to be a person who has a reason to have blame on them in the midst of the world. A reason to be rebuked in the midst of a world. When the world sees God's people complaining and disputing, it sends a message to them, something's wrong with them. Something's not right with them. And so it goes on in verse number 16. What are we to do? We are to hold forth the word of life, the word that brings life, that is the source of life, the word of God that showed you your sin, that showed you needed to place faith in Jesus Christ, the word of God that gave you eternal life, that very word, holding it forth, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I might not have run in vain, neither labored in vain. Where does it all start? A good attitude, not murmuring and disputing. And so you and I need to really get down to just the basics of Christian living. It's not, oh, how much theology do you know? Friends, it is, what do you do with your tongue? What's your attitude? That's what sets you apart. That's what sets me apart. When I go to talk to people and meet them, the first thing they ask me is not what's your degrees. They want to know, is this real? Is this Christian life thing real? How do they see me interacting in my front yard with my children? That's what they want to know. That's what they're observing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Have an excellent attitude. Have an excellent attitude because that sets us apart in this world. Don't miss that verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. Are we in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? And do we not need to shine his lights here?
Amen.
Yes. And it all starts with an excellent attitude. Now, certainly the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be in your heart. And I encourage you, if you've not yet received Jesus Christ, to receive him, because he is the one that can give you an excellent attitude. So Daniel had this attitude, this godly attitude. Notice in verses 4 through 9, Daniel had a godly testimony. A godly testimony. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion. You know the world's always, always seeking to find something out on you. Are they really as good as they look? Are they really all that? Now, we ought to be very careful about not portraying a holier-than-thou attitude. That's not good. We're not. We need to be real about who we are. We all have flesh. We all put on our pants the same way, or for the guys, and we all go through life the same way. We have the same ups and downs. You know what I'm saying? We all have the same flesh. So we're no different. Even those that are outside of Christ, we have the same flesh. we're made in the image of God, and we are sinners, and apart from Him, we have the same. The world's always looking, okay, these Christians, are they really what they say they are? And they're seeking to find, they're scrutinizing our lives more than we even realize. They're scrutinizing it. They're taking a magnifying glass to it. And that's what was going on here with these presidents towards Daniel. The presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning his work and concerning the kingdom. Can we find him in a deceitful act? Can we find him embezzling? Can we find him going against the word of the king behind the scenes? Can we find him doing a backroom deal? Can we find something on him? They were looking for an occasion, but I want us to notice here in verse number 4. Look down with me. Verse number 4, for as much as he was, you see it there? For as much as he was what?
Faithful.
Faithful. Now that word, it's the idea of being trustworthy. Trustworthy. Someone who has good faith, they do the right thing, they do what they said they will do, they're the same in private as they are in public, they're the same in the audience of the king as they are in the audience of the princes and presidents, they are trustworthy. And so these princes and presidents were looking, can we find anything on them? But Daniel was trustworthy. Don't you want trustworthy people around you? Don't you want to be a trustworthy person? Daniel was a trustworthy individual. And these were Daniel's co-workers. So they saw him in a lot of different contexts. They saw him in the ups and they saw him in the downs. They saw him on Monday as well as on Friday. They saw him. They had a front row seat to his life. And so don't your co-workers and your family. But I want us to understand that these were folks that had the ability to look at Daniel's life and actually critique it. They weren't people that were, you know, separated by miles. These were folks that Daniel saw day by day. And so they were the ones that looked on as they scrutinized and said, as much as he's faithful, he's trustworthy, he seems to always do the right thing. They saw him in both the good times, the bad times, and Daniel still was doing the right thing. Where does that come from? That, friends, has to come from an abiding relationship with God. You don't live that way apart from someone's help. You can't live that way by a friend's help, and you can't live that way by a parent's help. You only live that way by abiding, as John 15 says, abiding in Christ. And so they found Daniel to be faithful, trustworthy. I do want to say here, the Bible does not teach us sinless perfection. The Bible does not teach us that we get to a point as Christians or followers of God where we don't sin anymore. We'll have flesh until the day we see Jesus, and then He'll renew our bodies. He'll give us a glorified body, and sin will be no more. Praise the Lord. Do you look forward to that day? No more temptation. No more urge of the flesh. But Daniel, in his life, had so walked with the Lord that he got into this point, there was a steadiness, there was a consistency in his living out for God. And there wasn't something that they could pin on him. And he was honest in all that he did. A preacher, when he was a young man, he was a preacher in the Milwaukee area and established a church that I believe still exists to this day. But he had begun working in a bank as a young man, and was hired and began. He was new to the business, and the boss one day told him, he said this, if Mr. So-and-so calls for me, tell him I'm out. And he said, hold up, you're asking me to lie for you? Are you going to be gone? And he did it respectfully, but he said, you're asking me to lie for you. And well, the boss got very, very upset. He wasn't going to be out, he just didn't want to talk to the guy. And so in response to this, young man said to the bank owner, he said, listen, if I won't lie for you, it ought to be a good sign that I won't lie to you. You know, our integrity and our honesty, our trustworthiness, our faithfulness matters. And it matters whether we're a young person or an old person. Don't we wish that we had some trustworthiness in the higher leadership of our country? Don't you wish? It would solve a whole lot if we just speak the truth. But friends, it starts with us. Daniel was in the midst of all that perversity that we see and more. And yet he was faithful. Not a one of those individuals were an honest character. They all got together and stood before the king and said, all of us have gotten together and we've come up with a plan that's really good for you. All except Daniel, they're liars. And what are they going to do? They're going to try to find some fault in Daniel, and they could not. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 12, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil of you as evildoers, they're going to accuse you of things you didn't do, that by your good works, which they shall behold, they're going to see the honesty and the trustworthiness, may glorify your God in the day of visitation. God says, make sure that your lifestyle is honest among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers. Lord, help us. Lies are lies. Sometimes exaggeration, friends, that's just a way that we've come up with to kind of dampen lying. It's a lie. White lies are white lies. They're just lies. There's no color scale on it. It's just lies. And God challenges people just like you and me to make sure that we're telling the truth. And Daniel was a man who was trustworthy and he told the truth. And so shouldn't we. But Daniel was also submitted. Did you notice in verse number 5? These men, these crooked, perverse men, deceitful men that Daniel was to be leading. He says, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We're going to have to find where his law, the law of the Medes and the Persians, and his God's law contradict, and that's where we're going to have to find them. Friends, that's where we are. That is exactly where we are. Let's be ready for that. And they're scrutinizing. You say, no way, not in America. You remember the mayor of I believe it was Houston, Texas, that sent her people to comb through thousands of hours of pastor's sermons in her city to see if they spoke anything against the LGBTQ community and subpoenaed them? Right? We are at that point that I cannot preach the word of God. I'm always mindful that there might be somebody watching or listening that won't appreciate the truth of the word of God. We're at that point. And they're scrutinized. Where is there going to be a conflict between the Medes and the Persians' law and God's law? And so I want us to realize Daniel wasn't submitted to the law of the Medes and Persians. He was an extent that he could also submit to that and God's law, but he's ultimately submitted to God's law. He's ultimately saying yes to God. And where he could say yes to God and as well say yes to Darius, he did. But the moment he could not say yes to God and yes to Darius, he did not. He did the right thing. He submitted himself to God's law. Whose law are you submitted to today? We can't just go along with everything that the world tells us and even our country tells us. We can't go along with it. Well, it's just what they say now. We have to be submitted to God's law in all of our days. And so, verses 6 and following, we find that they finally found an area that if they put a law into place, they can get Daniel to violate one of their laws and thereby get rid of Daniel. So Daniel, we know that he prays every day to his God. We pass by his house, we hear him praying, we see him going home at lunchtime. 3 times a day, Daniel prays. We know this about him, and we realize that he's doing this because he is doing this for his God. He's submitted to his God. He's seeking counsel from God. He's praying, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to lead these 122 men that are under me? What do you want me to do? And he's seeking and submitting himself to God. Ah, we can catch him there. We can catch him there. And so as we read, they go and say, hey, all the princes, all the presidents, everyone. Just think of it like this, King. The whole country's with you about this. If you assign this in the law, it'll be just like any of the other Medes and Persian laws. It can't be changed. And it'll bring such glory to you. It'll be so good for you. king not even realizing that the man that he trusted the most was going to be the most hurt by this law. So they knew Daniel would violate this within 30 days. I wonder what the world thinks we can stop doing for 30 days. Or I wonder if our testimony is so very strong that the world says they can't go 30 days without obeying God. It's probably Christians, no doubt Christians, who say, you know what, think for 30 days. It's just 30 days. It's just 30 days. It's just 2 weeks. Do you realize there are Christians who left at the beginning of COVID and have still not come back to the Assembly of the Saints? That burdens my heart as a pastor. Why? Because it's not me telling them to come to the Assembly of the Saints. It's God telling them to. That was just 2 weeks. All right, we realized we shut down during those days, not understanding all of it. But there was a day where we had to say, you know what? We have to get back to meeting together because God said so, regardless of what everyone else says. We have to meet together. What does the world think of you? Does the world see your testimony as being so strong? You know what? They can't go 30 days without obeying God. We're going to catch them in it. And that's exactly what happened here. He can't go 30 days without praying. And they knew it because he was so faithful. He's so submitted to his God. The world is watching. Are we going to line our lives up with God's word? The world is watching. One person said our talk talks and our walk talks. But our talk talks louder than our walk walks. And so it's so in our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Read the screen. There it is. Do you get the picture? It's true. The world sees the demonstration of our life. They see how we live it out. And they say, I don't care what you've said. Your walk tells me a different story. We want those to match. The world is desperate to see in somebody the testimony of it matching. Oh, Lord, help us. Daniel was that type of individual. He submitted to the Lord in this way. So Daniel had a godly attitude. He had a godly devotion to the Lord as well. And I want us to notice that in verse number 10 through 28. This was a persistent devotion. Daniel didn't stop praying just because this decree was signed. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, verse 10, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Say that last phrase with me, as he did aforetime. This wasn't a new thing. Oh, the law's in place, now I need to go pray. No, he had persistently through his life. I believe the reason these guys understood that they could catch Daniel here is because they had seen this going on over and over, day by day in the life of Daniel. It was a persistent testimony. It was a persistent devotion in his life. 3 times a day, he is praying and seeking the Lord. He didn't start practicing it when the law came about. He had already been doing it, and the law came in conflict with his life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Don't preach Jesus anymore. Did they start preaching once it was outlawed? No, they'd been preaching all the way along, and they said, you judge for yourselves. Should we obey God or should we obey you? We're going to obey God. We're going to stay with him. And this was the persistent attitude of Daniel. And Daniel did this over and over. Jesus said to the disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you obey my word, then are you my disciples indeed. We have many people, many Christians who are content to just believe on Jesus but don't want to follow him, don't want to be a disciple, a follower of the word, put it into practice. Oh yeah, you know, sometime years ago I came to Christ. Christ wants to save every single person on earth. I believe that with all my heart. He died for the sins of all men. But those that believe on him, he doesn't want you just to say, just have some dusty decision way back when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He wants you to be a daily follower of Jesus Christ right now. If you continue my word, walk in it, be persistent in it. The world craves to see that in people's lives, and they're turned off. They're turned off. Yeah, I'm a Christian. As they smoke, as they go to parties. And those aren't the only things. I know those are big things. As they have a unkind spirit, as they talk down about their wife, right? As they don't resolve problems well. The world looks on at this and says, you're a Christian and you act this way? The world knows. In Daniel, they saw a persistent testimony. May your co-workers, our sphere of influence, see a persistent testimony in our lives. Persistent devotion, a devotion to the Lord. Now, this was a proven devotion. It wasn't just persistent. It's going to be tested, and yours will be too. This is one of the great stories of the Bible. Daniel in the lion's den, right? It's an amazing story. It's really a story about how big God is. Have you ever been up close over in Columbus to the lions in the zoo? You know where the plane is in the Columbus Zoo, and they have that, you know, that glass right there. What is it, 2 or 3 inches thick? I'm thankful for that. The last time we were up there, that lion was right up close, and I'm really grateful for that space. Lions are nothing to mess around with. Satan is described as a lion that's seeking to destroy and devour you. You realize that this devotion that Daniel had is going to be tested in a severe way. I don't know what you, I don't want to be thrown into a lion's den. I don't want to fall over a fence and fall down where the lions are. No. I want to stay. That glass better be really, really certain. It better be very sure. Better be way stronger than any Gorilla Glass. I mean, it better be 3 inches of Gorilla Glass. I want it to be strong. Why? I don't want to be around the thing because it'll hurt me. Can you imagine being threatened with being thrown to lions? And Daniel was being threatened. That's what was on the line. As he kneeled that day in his house, that is what was on the line. What was on the line was, is Daniel going to be in the lion's den and meet for them? Or is he going to continue to live? That's what was on the line. So he was either pray or get killed. That's what was being offered to him right now. You continue to pray or you're going to die a very, very gruesome death. Who knows how long it would take for those lions to actually snuff out life. I would not want them to start with the foot first. Man. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice verse number 16. They brought Daniel after they had told this to the king. Daniel's violated this. They brought Daniel to the mouth of the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I find this very amazing that the king knew Daniel's testimony and realized that Daniel's God was very, very powerful. He stayed up all night trying to figure out a way for Daniel not to go through this legally. He couldn't. The laws of the Medes and the Persians had bound the king. He couldn't go back on his word. And so he allows him to be thrown in the lion's den, but even in that moment, he says, I know your God. I know your God. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. That's a pretty powerful testimony right there, isn't it? So, verse 25. Well, let's look at our passage. Let's go back up to verse number 21. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. O king, live forever. After he had said, the next morning, he was up all night. He didn't play any music. He's up all night. I wonder if God's going to protect him. He comes to the mouth early in the morning, the mouth of the lion's den. Oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel. Look, verse number 20. Oh, Daniel. Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel, verse 21, unto the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he hath shut up the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He's alive. You realize what's going on here? God is proving Daniel's devotion and allowing his devotion to be proven as real, as authentic in front of a whole kingdom and in front of the world power of the day. It's pretty amazing. Darius continues, verse 25 and forward, praising the name of God, Daniel's God. And that's amazing. Daniel, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? What a great praise coming from a king, a world-class king. What if Daniel said, you know what, I can skip praying for 30 days? That moment would have never happened. His devotion was proven as authentic. And you know, you're going to have a moment where your devotion to God is proven. It may be at a lunchtime this week. It may be in an office this week. It may be in your living room. But you're going to have your devotion to God tested. And will we, like Daniel, say, I'm still going to serve God, even if it means personal hurt, even if it means a black eye, so to speak, I'm going to still serve God. And look at verse 28 to finish this out. Let's read it out loud together because it's very powerful. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know what was just said there? Daniel continued to follow the Lord, and God blessed his ministry, his work, his government work under Darius and one more king. Do you remember what Cyrus did? You remember what Cyrus did, the opening of the book of Ezra? Cyrus, this king that had the captivity, had Israel there, signs a decree. Hey, you all, you Israelites, you Jews, I'm signing a decree. God told me to send you back to go build your temple. That was Cyrus. Who influenced Cyrus? Daniel did. You know, you and I think, well, I have to be accepted of the world. And so I got to make all these concessions. No, when we stand on our principles and we stand by the word of God, God will put us in places where we don't have to buckle on our principles, but we continue steadfastly with the Lord, still living godly before him, and God will put us in places of great, great influence where we influence folks even like a Cyrus. Now, it's going to be different in your life. In my life, they'll be different, but we can trust God with that. Leave God to take care of our influence. Let's make sure that we mind our obedience, mind our testimony before him, living godly. Titus 2 and verse 12, 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, what, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Daniel was still living godly at 80 because of decisions he made early on and consistently lived out. I'm just going to obey God. I'm going to submit to God over and over, saying, yes, Lord. As we were coming home from the men's conference yesterday, I needed to come back a little early with Brother Frank. I had an appointment to preach last night, and so we came back early, and we got on to I-71, and he has his GPS set to a more British voice, and I'm not even going to try to... Try to imitate it. But so anyway, we were getting on, and something really struck me. As we got on, it told us for some 68 miles to continue straight ahead. It's not the way the English, the American English talks, but the way it said it, just continues straight ahead. Straight on. You're on the road, continue straight on. I thought, man, that's really interesting, actually. Because that's exactly what you and I need to do. Oh, so the majority of Ohioans don't reference the Word of God. Continue straight on. Your coworkers don't fear God. Continue straight on. Our country has a lot of darkness looming over it. Continue straight on. Your family doesn't agree with your Christianity. Continue straight on. It's going to cost me something personally. Continue straight on. That is the message. That is Daniel's life. Just keep going. And it's not all about Daniel. It's about Daniel's God. The only reason Daniel was able to do this is because of his relationship with God. Let's not get so caught up on Daniel as much as who Daniel was focused on. And Daniel's life says, hey, look at him and keep going. Keep going forward. So you have some challenges this week. Continue straight on. What does God want you to do? Do you know that you can go to the Word of God this week and say, God, I have this decision. I need you to show me something today from your Word. And I'm going to start reading and expect that you're going to show me something from your Word that will give me insight into this. Do you know He will? The first day I got back from vacation, I had something come in and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I need you to speak to me directly about this, not audibly, you understand, through your Word. And I could not believe the passage I read. It gave me specific instruction in what to do with that, and I continued straight on in that. All right, Lord, this is what you told me to do. I asked, and you gave it to me. Let's go. That's what we need to do. It might be hard. Continue straight on. There's some potholes. Some of these roads. There's accidents. I don't know about you. I'm not too eager to see down in Alabama, what was it yesterday? The gunmen out in the interstate. That doesn't excite me very much. I don't like the idea of that, just open shooting at cars. Continue straight on. Even when for your faith, you're going to suffer, continue straight on. But right now, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, our day-to-day activities in our workplace. It's the little decisions. It's the little decisions. Do I pray right now for my food? Do I say the truth when no one else wants me to say the truth because it's going to make our team look bad? Do I show up? Continue straight on. Do I teach my children this even though the whole world's saying that this isn't right? Continue straight on. What do I do in this world that's trying to indoctrinate my children? Continue straight on. Even if it means that you're going to have to take on more responsibility and go the extra mile to train them maybe at home, continue straight on. No one agrees with it. Continue straight on. Well, everyone has devices. Everyone's doing this. Continue straight on. Lord, what do you want me to do? I believe Daniel's is a picture of that. May the Lord help us with that. I want to be like a Daniel, don't you?
Yes.
So let's ask the Lord to help us with that. Let's stand. I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Find a place to kneel before God like Daniel did 3 times a day. And say, Lord, I want to continue straight on. I want to be godly till the day that I die. And I want to spend all of eternity in your presence. Bow with me. Father, would you help us right now? You know the needs that are in our hearts. And I pray that you would help us. Help us to resolve to continue straight on. To go forward for you. And Lord, the decisions that are in front of us this week, I pray that we would not waffle on, but that we would go forward for you. And so we ask that you would give grace and strength and help and mercy in this time of need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed, let's find a place to pray. Right now, I want to call believers to come and pray. Say, Lord, I'm going to continue straight on. Now, there are some folks here that might need to be saved. I want to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you'll come, we'll help you with that this morning. But continue straight on. I don't know what to do. I'm going to get out my Bible this week. Lord, you have my word. This afternoon, I'm going to get out my Bible and ask you to speak to me. I'm going to ask someone to pray with me. But I'm going to continue straight on for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.